Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
Tell you, the love of God is something else, isn't it? It's so wide, you'll never get around it. It's so high, you'll never get over it. It's so long, you'll never find the end of it. It's so deep, you can't find the bottom of it. The love of God is powerful.
Amen.
It is.
That's right.
It's good stuff. Hello, live stream. I'm Pastor Fred Gillenwater here at Russell Road Church. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you all for being here today. We have been talking about, well, last week we talked about our resurrection, didn't we? If you don't have that first resurrection, you got some struggles, don't you? You got to have that first resurrection. The most important resurrection is the one that you have, right? God raised you from the dead. You were dead spiritually. It talks about in Ephesians 2, you were once dead in your trespasses and sin. He wants to raise you up spiritually. A spiritual awakening. Alive, right? Talks about that in Colossians 3. It says, if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. So we've been raised with Christ spiritually.
Amen.
If you've been born again. So that's how you get to the second resurrection, where when Jesus comes back the next time, if you were in the first resurrection, you accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, then your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you won't be judged. You won't be judged at the White Throne Judgment. But if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then you didn't experience the first resurrection. Now you have to face the White Throne Judgment, and Jesus is going to be the judge. It says He's going to judge. He's the judge. Now listen, and He's the one who condemns. Talks about it in John chapter 5. I talked about it. He's the one that makes the decision where you go the second time. Remember, you died once, but He's coming back a second time apart from sin for salvation, Hebrews 9. So complete salvation. So the second time, people who have been had the first resurrection, they don't go to the White Throne Judgment. They pass on. But the ones who haven't have to face it. You see that? But they have to be sin-free. And you can't be sin-free without Jesus.
That's right.
Because He paid the price for our sin.
Amen.
So you, then that's called the second death. Because you were dead when you came there, spiritually still. And so now you have the second death, which is the lake of fire. Did you hear me? That's why it's important to understand that. What's the lake of fire? All right. You see why it's so important that a pastor helps people understand these things? I can't sleep at night if I don't help you understand these things. Because God has called me to help you understand those things, right?
Amen.
And that's huge. And so that's significant. So that was our Easter program. But that's important. We're not just getting a big feel-good message and trying to... That is a feel-good message, though.
Yeah, well, every day.
That's right. So, here's the idea. Now we're going back to where we were teaching before Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday. So we're going back to those principles we've been talking about in Hebrews chapter 6. And these are significant. You're going to get something out of this today, and it's so important to understand. So we're going to look at these principles, and after we look at the vision, let's go to the vision. To build a people who are established in God's word, advancing his kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. All right. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. All right. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. So now, you see, so not laying again means we've got it in us. It's in our foundation. But now, see, some people don't. And that's why I'm going over this, because I want this to be in your foundation. And once you get this in your foundation, you know what? It starts to act and it starts to work without sometimes you even thinking about it. God will show you and you'll say, oh gosh, I need to repent of that. And he'll reveal it to you. And it's powerful. But if that's not in your foundation, you'll just go on and do something wrong and you don't even pay attention to it. And then you just keep snowballing into more problems. You see that? And then you're miserable and you wonder why you're miserable. But if you understand this, it says in Acts 3, repent that your sins may be blotted out and times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Repentance really brings presence and refreshing in your life. So that's what we need. We need to be refreshed and not beat ourselves up. And when you understand repentance, that's what happens. What's repentance mean? Change your mind. Metanoia. Meta means change. Noia means mind. That's the Greek word. Metanoia. Change your mind. So I have to change my mind about this sin in my life. I got to change the way I'm thinking about it. See, and here's what happens. If you don't change your mind, it can become paranoia. Paranoia. Did you catch that? That's fear. You see, what's that look like? Well, since I'm not paying attention, I've chosen the inferior. And now the inferior is guiding my life. Now I'm getting stressed out and I'm getting, you know, worried and anxious. You see that? And that's what happens when you keep choosing the inferior. But when you choose the superior from the creator, the one who designed you, now you're getting what you need to be stable. Are you listening to me? And to be all he's created you to be. And that's what God is calling you to. He wants you to change your mind. We have to change the way we think. And when we do that, we begin to experience the life God has called us to. Now watch this. Let's go to Psalms 32 there, Tasha. We got Tasha helping us out back there. Now, there's four elements of repentance. And the first one is we have to acknowledge. We have to acknowledge. So we're going to get to acknowledge, and we're going to get to the second one. We want to be honest, okay? So now, look. Let's look at this. Look at what he says. I acknowledge. This is David, and David is acknowledging his sin. But now think about this. David was a man after God's own heart, right? I go to leadership conferences, and people use him as an example all over the globe. Still today. And because he understood repentance. But now get a hold of what I'm getting ready to say. David had he sinned, and he should have been out with at war, but he stayed back, and he ended up watching Bathsheba bathe, and he had a relationship with her that he shouldn't have been having. And then he ended up making sure her husband was killed because he was the king at the time. So now listen, I want you to get a hold of this. Now, Bathsheba was the one that he had the affair with. Now, one of my favorite books is I read Proverbs every day. I've been doing that for years because Billy Graham did. And so I heard he does that, so I started doing it. There's 31 chapters. Read a chapter each day. That's a good study habit and a good thing to do daily because it's the book of wisdom. It's wisdom literature. And so Solomon was the fruit of that relationship of David and Bathsheba. And Solomon is the wisest man on the planet. Other than Jesus, the Bible says that God gave him wisdom. He said he was going to get wisdom, and he's going to be wiser than any man who ever was and whoever will be. Wisdom. Did you hear what I said? Now, isn't that like God? He takes one of the most unwise decisions ever take place and flips it around to being one of the wisest. Did you catch that? Come on now. That's why you can't use your parents, you can't use where you came from as an excuse, because God has a plan and purpose for your life. Did you catch what I said? That's why we need wisdom. We need God's wisdom. And that's why understanding what we're talking about, having this repentance and this faith towards God as in these principles in our foundation, that's wisdom. That's wisdom, and it will start to work for you in a way that will help you if you really want help. So now, let's look at this. So the first element is I have to acknowledge I was wrong, I messed up, I made a mistake. You see that? And that's all God is saying. And what he'll do is he'll show you that, and he'll help you with it, and you can change your mind. And see, changing your mind is not, oh, I got caught. That's remorse. No, this is, you feel sorrowful towards God because you feel like you weren't where God wanted you to be. You see that? And you say, God, I am sorry. I want a godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, it says in Corinthians. So when you understand this, you don't look back on your life with regret. You see that? I don't have any regrets. I've been through a lot, but I'm getting what I need. I'm getting my wisdom, and I'm getting what I need to keep me going in the right direction. Am I making sense? So I don't have to regret, well, I didn't say this, I didn't go, I didn't. No, that right there, it's not a part of your life when you understand what I'm talking about. Now watch this. This is huge. So now, we have to acknowledge we're wrong. You know, and it talks about in, we're going to get to that later, in 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. We're going to get into that in the third principle of this psalm, but we probably won't get there today because we're getting to the second part now. So now look, I have to acknowledge my sin, recognize, because you can't repent what you don't see, what you don't recognize, right? Can't change my mind if I don't understand what I need to change my mind about, right? So now, So now David said, first, I acknowledge my sin. I was wrong. I messed up. I need help. So let's go to the second element. Second element is you need to be honest with God. You need to be honest with God. Now look. Look what he says. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. And my iniquity I have not hidden. See, some people think you can hide things from God. I'm going to tell you what, you can't hide anything from God. Hebrews 4:13 says, all things are naked and open in the eyes of him who we must give an account. He knows everything that's going on. Are you with me? So, see, that's the problem. A lot of people don't like to be accountable to anything. And so that's why people don't pray. Because when you pray, God starts to show you a little something. Am I making sense? He'll show you a little something. You see, you think by not praying and not, you're just, oh, well, I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm okay. I'm okay. You know, the people that get hurt and they go, I'm okay. I'm okay. When really you're not, right? So now, let's think about this. Iniquity. What's iniquity? Now, people say iniquity is sin. But here's the thing I want to help you with. It talks about in Isaiah, it says your sins and iniquities have separated you from God, that he can't hear you. So iniquities are really patterns in your life that hold you in sin. Did you catch that? How many of you heard like father, like son? You've heard that? Because it says your sins and iniquities have been passed on to you as far back as 3 and 4 generations by your fathers. Your father carries the seed, and it's passed on through the seed. And iniquity is a pattern, an attitude. It could be, you know, a way of thinking, and it's passed on to you. And God will reveal that to you. And he'll let you see it. But if you don't want to repent of it and change your thinking and change that, then he's going to let you have the fruit of it. It talks about in Hosea, your iniquities, you have eaten the fruit of lies because you trusted in your own way. And that's what happens. You start to eat the fruit of lies because you didn't want to change those iniquities. Now think about this. Those iniquities are patterns that hold you in sin. In Isaiah 53, it says that Jesus was bruised for our iniquities. You see that? He was wounded for our transgressions. A wound is an outward laceration. A bruise is a bleeding on the inside. You ever get a bruise? It's, you know, it gets all purple. That's a bleeding on the inside. Well, that's what Jesus did. It says he was bruised for our iniquities on the cross. He bled on the inside. Why? Because the blood redeems those areas of our life. We've been redeemed by the blood. The blood's going to cover even the inside of you.
Amen.
You see that? Did you catch that? That's what that's talking about. And so he wants to remove those iniquities. And the blood cleanses that. Gets that out of your life. So you don't have to be like your... Here's why I'm telling you this story. When I was... So honesty is the second element. So when I was a kid, my dad had a temper. And at times, and you know, he was a great dad. He raised 4 kids, and his wife ended up in a institution and diagnosed as a paranoid schizophrenic. And ended up the last 13, 14 years of her life, she didn't even take any medicine, never had no signs of it. Took medication all those years and all that, and never, do you hear what I'm saying? I said, did you hear what I'm saying?
Amen.
Isn't that amazing?
Yep.
He went to Texas, he went to Mexico, driving everywhere, trying to get her help and all that. But here's what I'm trying to help you see. But I remember my dad had a temper, or he would get angry. When he would get angry, if he got angry at you, you knew it. I mean, he would blow up a little bit because, you know, stress and pressure gets on you when you're trying to do all that. But here's the thing. You know what he would do when he really was angry? He would get silent. He'd play the silent treatment on you. Walk around not saying anything. And when Daddy was silent, boy, it used to bug you. It used to hurt me. And I remember my dad being that way with me, and I said, I'm not going to be like that. That's called being anagorious. There's your word for today. Children are anagorious. They pick up what's going on around them. And you know what? They will choose, I want to be like that. Or I don't want to be like that. Did you hear what I said? And they'll adopt what they're seeing. You don't even have to say anything. They'll take that on and just start mimicking and acting like you. And that can be an iniquity. And it was in me. So I got to where I was in high school. People get make me mad. I just silent treatment. See that? That's not acceptable. Did you catch what I said? And that silent treatment sometimes, that's anger being held down. And I'm going to tell you what, that will really cause you some problems in life. And you'll end up blowing up on somebody. Am I making sense? And this is something we have to get a hold of because, folks, people are angry. There's people. People are angry for no reason. People get upset over nothing. You know what that is? They're protecting themselves. Anger is a secondary emotion. People are always protecting themselves, always defending themselves. You know, you get around people that are touchy. Oh, what? You know, is everything okay? And you just get upset, so mad over nothing, and you're just upset all the time. Well, that's anger, unaddressed. Huh? And so God wants you to deal with that. And when, you know what? This can be passed on, I'm telling you. God can free you from that. And that's why we're talking about this repentance today. Now, so let's take a look at this. So we're going to go from this second, honest with God, we're going to go to, Tasha, go with me to Proverbs 2, 10 through 12. Now, you've heard me speak. Do you know what we need? We need wisdom. Say, I need wisdom.
I need wisdom.
So now look. You have a gift. Everybody in here has a gift. Everybody has a gift. I have a gift. You have a gift. We need your gifts. You have talents. Everybody has talents. Gifts and talents. Those are for other people. Did you hear me? Because apple trees don't eat their own apples. You're producing fruit. You're producing fruit for other people. You're supposed to bear fruit. That's what a disciple does. He bears fruit. But it's for other people. But now pay attention. Wisdom is for you. You personally. Did you hear what I just said? Wisdom, you need wisdom for you.
Right.
How to respond. How to process things. With people you're working with your children, with your wife, with your husband, You know, with your finances, with your health, you need to know how to respond in a way that keeps you going in a healthy direction. And that's what wisdom does. Did you get that? Now listen to me. How many of have you heard me say, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you and understanding will keep you and deliver you from the evil way? How many of you heard me say that? I say that all the time. I'm getting ready to unpack it here for you. Because we need wisdom. And I want you to really get a hold of this. Because, folks, what we're paying our attention to, what we give our attention to, he says in Proverbs 4:20, the wisest man on the planet, other than Jesus, he says, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Whatever has your ear, that's where you end up in life. Whatever the voices you're listening to, that's the direction you're going in life. You better watch the people you listen to next, close proximity to you. You better watch the people who are giving you text messages, the people who are calling you. What are you listening to? What are you giving your ear to? What are you paying attention to? Because what you're paying attention to is where you are headed. That's where you're going. Did you catch that?
Yeah.
What you listen to is where you're going. I'm trying to show you something now. And that's why he said, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are light to those who find them and health to all your flesh.
Hallelujah.
Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Yes. Out of your heart comes the issues of your life, what you were paying attention to.
That's right.
I know I had to preach a little bit. I wasn't going to do that, but I did. I just can't do this sometimes without preaching. So we need wisdom. Now get a hold of this. Now think about this. Okay, now look. So when wisdom enters your heart, he says, knowledge is pleasant to your soul. Knowledge is knowing God. In Proverbs 9:10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. See, when you fear God, you honor him, you respect him, you hold him in his rightful place. He's first in your life. You see that? That's the fear of God. God is God. I'm not God. I need God. You see, that's what that is. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And then it says, knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Knowledge is my interaction with God, and I'm getting to know God now. I'm in a relationship with God. That's what knowledge is. It's not just knowledge. It's knowledge of God. And that's what we need, knowledge of God. Jesus said, listen, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says that God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The knowledge of the truth is knowing God, because he is truth. He's the God of truth. And there's only one God. His name is Jesus.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service time is Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul, taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.